You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Wheaton at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago.
We have one baby that is from my stuff and one baby that is from David's stuff, but they both will have the same biological mother, and we wanted them to have that sort of genetic connection. And right now there are two really fantastic women, and you know, it's not an easy thing to be a surrogate. This is not something people really do for money. They do it for a higher purpose, for sure. And really, two absolutely amazing women are carrying our babies right now. So we have two babies, again, one from each of us biologically, but they will be connected through the egg, the genetic material of the mother.
That's political commentator Dave Rubin's announcement on the Rubin Report of surrogate pregnancies. He and his partner have both contributed, and if I can't counting right, two men and three women to produce two babies that are, I think, going to be half sisters. If I'm not a geneticist, I am not an OBGYN, but that's how it looks to me. What I'm somewhat shocked about is the same people, when Pete Buttigieg and his partner posted birth photos of their adopted babies, well, had right criticism for them, have been kind of silent when it comes to Dave Rubin's announcement. Why is that? Joining us to talk about popular commentator Dave Rubin's announcement of surrogate pregnancies, Jennifer Law. She spent 25 years as a pediatric critical care nurse, a hospital administrator, and a senior level nursing manager. She's founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network, director and executive producer of the films Exploitation, Breeders, A Subclass of Women, and Big Fertility. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Why were so many conservative critics of Pete Buttigieg's gay adoption announcement relatively silent on David Rubin's announcement of surrogacy of two children?
Well, I think it's because Dave Rubin is sort of a darling of the conservatives, and Pete Buttigieg isn't. So it was easy to heap coals on Pete and then give Dave a pass.
How does surrogacy work?
Well, most surrogacy today, modern day surrogacy, is what we call gestational surrogacy, meaning the surrogate mother's just providing her womb, not her egg. So she's not the genetic mother of the child, she's the birth mother. So she's carrying somebody else's baby. In the case of Dave Rubin and his partner Dave, you know, they each rented their own surrogate womb. They each used their own sperm. And I'm told that they used the same egg donor to make their babies. So their children will be half siblings, different fathers, different birth mothers, but the same genetic mother. Are you confused yet?
Yeah. Am I counting correctly? Three women are involved in this operation to get one gay couple two children.
Yep. Three women have been exploited. And I would even venture to say perhaps the egg donor doesn't even know where her eggs went. So she probably doesn't even know that her eggs are making Dave and Dave's babies. And maybe even the surrogate mothers don't know. I don't know. A lot of times surrogates are sworn to secrecy. They are told to sign non-disclosure agreements. And I've seen ads, you know, we're just looking for a surrogate to help a high-profile couple. So, but yeah, two women's wombs and one woman's eggs to make these babies.
You use the word exploitation. What do you mean by that?
Well, they're exploited. Surrogate pregnancies are high risk. That's well documented in the medical literature. We've had surrogate mothers in the United States die. Surrogate mothers overwhelmingly are young wives and young mothers of their own children. So when I think of the many surrogates who've died in America, you know, husbands lost their wives, children lost their mothers. They're paid handsomely to take on these medical risks. And, you know, if you can't explain exploitation by putting somebody at risk and offering them money to harm them, and what is the definition of exploitation? They're used and often seriously, seriously harmed.
Talk about the harms that surrogacy does to children.
Well, I was a pediatric nurse, as you mentioned, for many years, and we know that maternal-child bonding is real. It's important. It's good. It's something that we encourage in hospitals, that mothers and babies attach even before birth. But in the case of surrogacy, even though we know the only thing a newborn baby knows when they're born, they know their mother. They know her sound, her voice, her smell, the movements of her body. You don't have to teach a baby that. And the baby is removed immediately and given to strangers. Now grown-up children will know that they were part of a commercial contract. And, you know, the definition of buying and selling babies is you sign a contract, and when the baby's born, you hand that baby over. So a commercial financial transaction has happened. Assisted reproductive technology is not without risk. We've been at this long enough now. We have several pretty good studies that show children created this way are at risk for certain kinds of health disorders of their own. They didn't sign on to be part of this big commercial enterprise. So when you think about Dave Rubin's children, you know, these children will grow up one day and go, well, who's my mother? They'll figure out the birds and the bees soon and say, well, there's no women here. Okay, there was an egg donor. There was a womb loaner. I have this half-sibling that was born of a different woman's womb. Just the confusion of these children.
How else does surrogacy harm women?
Well, it treats us as just breeding animals. We're already in a situation right now in the world where women are being erased. You know, men are competing and taking first place prizes in sports away from women, athletes. Men are housed in women's prisons. You know, I'm in California. We have several hundred men that just identify as women now. But when you read the ads of big fertility, you know, if they're looking for an egg donor, they're not looking for a man who identifies as a woman to donate her eggs. So they're not looking for a woman, man who identifies as a woman to rent her womb. So we're women when we are, and we're women when they don't need us to be women. And I think that's harmful to the beauty of women as mothers. You know, that's the one thing that we get to do that men can't do. And now we're being told to sell our bodies, rent our bodies, loan out our bodies for this whole big modern family enterprise.
What other aspects of surrogacy prove to be ethically problematic, Jennifer?
Well, first, I think it's the money, the commercial transaction. I spend way too much time reading these contracts. So I think that's hugely problematic. Not that I'm arguing for women to do this for no money. I'm arguing for women not to do this at all. Again, you know, the realness of maternal-child bonding. You know, in my own research in interviewing surrogate mothers in the United States, they have more postpartum depression in their surrogate pregnancies than with their own children. And I think that's sad, you know, because women go home after having a baby and they don't have a baby. So we know that this is damaging emotionally, physically, mentally to women. I think it's also harmful to marriages. You know, I know one surrogate whose husband felt horrible. He didn't feel like a man. He couldn't provide for his family, that his wife had to repeatedly do surrogacy to help make ends meet for the family. It just diminishes the beauty and the magnificent, if you will, of women.
Talk about the international market for women's wombs and eggs.
Well, yes, that's a problem with big fertility, is that there is this reproductive tourism. If you're following what's going on in Ukraine right now, we have American families who've rented wombs, you know, hired surrogate mothers in Ukraine that can't get to their children because of war. During the COVID lockdowns, we had surrogate babies that were stranded for well over a year being cared for. Can you imagine? In the U.S., we had an American couple who had given birth to a baby for a couple in China. So for the first year of this baby's life, it was being raised in an American culture, hearing American language. And then, you know, a year later, it's whisked off to China, which is literally miles and miles apart culturally as well as geographically. And that first year of an infant's life, is there's so much important development that's going on with language and facial cues and just reading the signals, if you will, of being in a home and in an environment. And what kind of harm will we even see on these babies that are, you know, born in one country and then transferred to another country?
You have said that until the rich are affected by the problems of surrogacy and in vitro, nothing is going to change. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, if a rich person right now was trapped in Ukraine as a surrogate mother, they would have the resources to get help for themselves. But the fact is, rich people aren't doing this. The wealthy are not selling their eggs. The wealthy are not renting their wombs. You know, I would imagine that a woman in need of money sold her eggs to Dave Rubin. You know, a woman who needed the money rented her womb to Dave Rubin and his partner. So it's, you know, it's a class issue of the, you know, the rich have and can buy and the poor don't have and have to sell or loan. And so the rich won't be impacted. They won't suffer any of the harm. They won't have to lose their wife who died, you know, renting her womb out. So things won't change because this is something that the rich want and they feel entitled to. They feel that they have the means, we have the technology, and I have a right to this. So they won't be harmed. So business will go on as usual.
How would you respond to someone who says, you know, this is all legally contracted, everyone's given their consent, they're willing, and in many cases, they're well compensated, so why should we bother? Everyone seems happy about the arrangement.
Well, because this is a medical procedure, you know, we shouldn't allow medicine to be doing things that are harmful to healthy young women, healthy young wives, healthy young mothers. There's no medical indication for these women to be doing this. You know, when do you go to your doctor? You have no medical need to be there, but he's going to offer you a lot of money to do something you don't need to do, but you need the money, so you're going to do it. I think that's problematic for what I would call, you know, good Hippocratic oath, do no harm medicine. I mean, it's not like I'm just selling you a car and, you know, you've checked it and your mechanic says it's okay and you agree to pay me the price that I want. You know, this is the, you know, interface of our bodies and the medical establishment. And I don't think medicine has any business doing things to people that they don't medically need and paying them to do things that they don't medically need and putting them in harm's way.
Finally, you spoke earlier about the erasure of women, and we spoke about the relative silence of conservatives in the case of Dave Rubin's surrogacy. Are you surprised that feminists haven't objected more to the arrangements of surrogacy?
Well, the feminists I work with, they object all day long, but we don't get, our voices aren't in the news. You know, the New York Times isn't calling and reporting. The Washington Post doesn't follow my work and report the stuff that I do. So I feel really frustrated when I hear people say that, because we feel it sometimes that we're just screaming on the top of the mountain as loud as we can, but we can't break through. I mean, I just noticed when the Rubens made their announcement, there was like one level, a lot of conservatives were just really, really, really quiet because they don't want to speak out or speak ill of Mr. Rubin. And then the other ones were just like, you know, congratulating him. But I know plenty of feminists that are horrified by this and are very unhappy about it. But our voices are not amplified.
Jennifer Lawl spent 25 years as a pediatric critical care nurse, a hospital administrator, and a senior level nursing manager. She's founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network, director and executive producer of the films Exploitation, Breeders, A Subclass of Women, and Big Fertility. You'll find a link to the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Jennifer, thanks.
Thank you.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll get a reaction to Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson, her refusal to define the word woman, and we'll talk with Pastor Ted Geese about the Oscars. We'll also respond to your email in the Issues Etc. comment line. Talk back at issuesetc.org at 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I'm accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.